Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Scott shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen.
We're going to be in John chapter 7. So John chapter 7, verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled in Galilee, since he did not want to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. The Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea so your disciples can see your works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he seeks public recognition. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed in him. I'm going to stop right there. It's an interesting discussion because his brothers are encouraging him to go to the festival, and at the same time, it's more like a mockery than it is an encouragement, because it tells us at the end of verse 5, "For not even his brothers believed in him." So it wasn't out of faith that they encouraged him. It wasn't because they personally believed that he was and is the Messiah, that he was the Savior of the world. They grew up with him. They lived their life with him in their home and in their community, and never came to understand who Jesus was and is until after his resurrection. So at this point, Jesus has not obviously died on the cross, and they're encouraging him to go to the festival. But there's an interesting comment in this passage of Scripture, because the Jews wanted to kill him. That was clear in John's mind. But I thought before we started too deeply into this today, that we would talk a little bit about the festivals that the Jews partook in, the festivals they required to be at. So the festival here is the Festival of Tabernacles. The Festival of Tabernacles is also called Festival of Booths. And in order to understand the Festival of Tabernacles, we need to understand the festival that preceded the Festival of Tabernacles, and that was the Festival of Trumpets. And the Festival of Trumpets was 10 days long. And at the end of the Festival of Trumpets was the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement was to do animal sacrifice to pay for the sins of the people for that year. Not forever. Not like the festival that we participate in with Jesus sacrifice to pay the penalty for our sins. So a little bit about what happened here is the Day of Atonement is 10 days long. It's a solemn assembly, and the trumpets blew for the sacrifices. They also blew for other ceremonies within Judaism. They were an important part of the community of the believers in Jerusalem and around the temple. And at the same time, as we do a little bit of research, the trumpet blew when God came down on Mount Sinai in Leviticus chapter 19. The trumpets blew then. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the trumpet will blow again when Jesus comes back and takes us home. I think it's incredibly interesting and actually encouraging to recognize that God is so consistent and so ordered in the way that he works with people, the way that he ministers to people. The trumpet blew when God came down on Mount Sinai to give the Jews the law and for the Jews to understand the law. And Moses was on Mount Sinai for a number of days, but he came down to the people with the tablets that had the Ten Commandments on them. And Jesus came in John chapter 1 to give us grace and truth. And he's going to come back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to take us home to be with himself, and the trumpet will blow. I hear people say, and I actually have said it myself, I'm listening for the trumpet, because the trumpet will blow. Jesus will come back. Jesus will take us home. We have a promise that when we go to be with him, everything changes. We're not in this physical body anymore. We're in a new relationship with him. We're in a spiritual body, as he is in a spiritual body today, as he sits in heaven and advocates for us. And at the same time, we have the understanding that we might be citizens of America today, that we also have citizenship in the kingdom. We have citizenship in the kingdom because when Jesus came and gave us the promise, he said, the kingdom is among you right now. The kingdom is here. And when we came to know Christ as Lord and Savior, we became not just a member of the church, the body of Christ, which is true, but we also became a member of the kingdom. So the church is part of the kingdom. Church is not the kingdom by itself. The kingdom of God started back in Genesis when believers came to know God as Lord and Savior. And when they came in faith and believed in him, believed in the coming Messiah, they became part of the kingdom of God as well. So it's an incredible promise, really. So back to this festival of trumpets. There were sacrifices that were offered on the festival of trumpets. There were 9 days of the festival of trumpets, and then the 10th day was the Day of Atonement. And on the festival of trumpets, there were 9 animal sacrifices that were sacrificed. There was a bull, a young bull. There was a young ram. There were 7 young lambs. And then on the Day of Atonement, there was a goat that was sacrificed. It's a solemn assembly. It was not a time of festivity. But it was incredibly important for us to think about what this is, because the one thing about the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament is that innocent blood was shed for guilty, sinful people. Because when Adam sinned and Eve was deceived, sin entered the world. And all of us have the taint of sin in our life. We are all broken. We're all under the curse. All of us have a fallen nature. And doctrinally, we are sinners by nature and by choice. You don't have to tell a child not to steal the cookie out of the cookie jar. He's going to steal the cookie out of the cookie jar anyway. We make choices that we know we don't need to make because we choose to make those choices. And why do we choose to make those choices? Because we are sinners by nature. It's in our heart. Our heart is tainted with sin, which is our inner being is tainted with sin. And only Jesus can redeem us. Only he can really make us whole. Only he can give us new life. So we have the Day of Atonement. and after 9 days of the festival. And the Day of Atonement, the high priest, after the sacrifice is made, takes the blood into the Holy of Holies. He hasn't gone into the Holy of Holies yet. So in the temple, understand that there's a court outside for the Gentiles. There's a court outside for the people of Jerusalem, the Israelites. There is a inner Holy of Holies within the temple, and only the high priest can go into that Holy of Holies, and he goes in once a year to make a sacrifice for the people. Innocent blood for the guilty sin of the people. And it's called the Day of Atonement. There's only one place in the New Testament the word atonement is actually used to talk about our relationship with Christ, and that's in Romans. The Greek word for atonement in the New Testament is propitiation, because atonement in the Old Testament was for 1 year. And we need to understand that it was for 1 year. Every year, there had to be a Day of Atonement. Well, that served a couple of purposes. The Jewish festivals were enacted by God to be a reminder to the people of their position before God. And the Day of Atonement had to be recognized, and sacrifices had to be done every single year. So the atonement was for 1 year. But when we come to the New Testament, we see the word propitiation, and the definition of propitiation is once for all, it never had to be done again. Once for all, complete, fully taking care of the sin of the people. That's what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross to be the propitiation for our sins, to give us new life. I love the reality of what Scripture teaches us. God is not in the business of rebuilding our old life. He's not in the business of correcting our old life. He's not in the business of making our old life better. He's in the business of giving us new life because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf. And too many times as believers in Christ, we try to fix our old life. We try to make our old life better. And we find that we really can't do that. We fail. We fail miserably. Oftentimes we quit because we feel like we can't get better. But when we recognize that we actually have new life in Christ, He gives us a new heart. He takes the heart of stone and makes it into a heart of flesh. He changes us from the inside out. He transforms us from the inside out. And He does that through His Word. He does that through His Word by teaching us His Word, by making His Word alive in us, and giving us the opportunity to recognize that we have this new life, this new opportunity. I remember the day that I came to know Christ as Lord and Savior, broken and really, really messed up. And when I got from that prayer, I knew that something was different. I didn't know what God had. I didn't know everything that He desired to do. But all of a sudden, my mindset changed. And I had no idea what I was going to do with my life before I came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And shortly after I came to know Christ as Lord and Savior, I began to think, I need to learn more about the Bible. I need to understand more about God's Word. I need to understand more about Christ. And I found myself desiring to go to Bible college, desiring to go to school to learn, because I really wanted to, at that point, serve the Lord. A few weeks before when I came to Christ, I had no desire to serve the Lord. I had no desire to even change. I didn't even think that what I was doing was really that terrible. But I came under conviction by the Spirit of God, and I knew because of my military background that I was broken. God provides forgiveness. And that forgiveness is real because it comes from Him, not from us. He forgave me. I did not forgive God. He forgave me. So let's move on here a little bit. I'm going to back up just a second. Part of the Feast of Trumpets was to remind the people of God of their covenant and to remember God's promises, because we're forgetful people. And God knew that in time the Jewish people would forget what had been done, forget what God had done for them as a people, as a nation. So He forgave their sin, and He continued to do that on the Day of Atonement. But then we come to the Festival of Tabernacles, and it's oftentimes called the Festival of Booths. And at the Festival of Tabernacles, the people would build a shelter out of branches and tree boughs, and they would stay in that shelter for the festival time to remind them of the fact that the nation had spent 40 years in the desert in the Exodus as they went from Egypt into the Promised Land. They spent 40 years wandering around the desert, learning from God and rebelling against God, and then coming back to God through this next generation, actually. The Festival of the Tabernacles was actually a celebration of the fact that God had taken the people out of Egypt, taken them into the Promised Land. It was a festive time, not just a solemn time like the Festival of Trumpets was and the Day of Atonement was. It's important for us to think about this too, because we don't really grasp the gravity of what happened in that time frame. And I wanted to emphasize this morning that we don't really understand the gravity of sin. We don't understand the gravity of sin. We don't understand that sin is a violation of God's character. It's a violation of God's holiness. But when we think about the festival, the Day of Atonement, the innocent blood of animals that had no sin in them, shed for the sins of the people on the Day of Atonement, and had to be done every year for that year time frame, that's what happened on the cross of Christ. He was without sin. Nobody else could die on that cross. No one else could have paid the price. We could not die and pay the price for our sin. We have no ability to reconcile ourselves to God. But when Jesus died on the cross, innocent blood for the guilt of the people, for the sins of the people, He paid a penalty for our sin, for the sins of the entire world. The Old Testament believers were looking forward to that day when the Messiah would pay the penalty for their sin. The New Testament believers today look back at the cross of Christ and recognize that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. The important part about this is to recognize that it required innocent blood shed for the people to pay for our sin. And Scripture tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Well, if I cut myself and I'm bleeding, I'm shedding blood, it's not that blood that's going to save me. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. And it's so many details that are just incredible. When the soldier stuck a spear into the side of Jesus at the end of His life on that cross, all of His blood had been shed on that cross for us. He paid the price in full. And we need to recognize the gravity of that, the reality of that. Jesus' atoning sacrifice for us was final. It was complete. And it paid the penalty for our sin completely. You know, I was talking to a guy just this week, last week and then this week, both on Friday morning after our group study. And he said, I have such a terrible time with forgiveness because of the things that I have done in my life. And I took him to Colossians chapter 2. This is an incredible passage of scripture because in Colossians chapter 2, it tells us, starting in verse 13, when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with his obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross of Christ. By nailing it to the cross, he disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by him. And I shared this passage of scripture with this gentleman. He's a believer. He loves the Lord, but he carries the burden of guilt for things that have been done in the past. I could be that same person. Could be that same person for guilt, feeling guilty for the things that I've done in the past. But this passage of scripture is so incredibly powerful. Powerful because he forgave us our trespasses, erased the certificate of debt. The debt that he's talking about is the debt of our sin. And the certificate of debt is actually a legal document that tells us that we owe something. We owe for the sin that we've committed. But he erased it, and that means that he completely wiped it out, completely made that sin debt not our responsibility anymore. And that certificate of debt, our sin responsibility before God, was literally nailed to the cross of Christ when we asked Jesus to come into our life. When we asked Jesus to come into our life, our sin debt was taken care of 100%. And that's not your sin debt before you came to Christ. From birth until the day you came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's all forgiven. It's not the sin debt that from the day that you came to know Christ to where you are today in your life, it's all forgiven. It's not the sin debt that we will continue to incur from here on and that we get to go to glory. Paid for all of our sin debt, past, present, future. That's a promise that we need to understand is so incredibly true, powerful. He forgave our sin debt. He disgraced it publicly, triumphed over it completely. We have no debt to pay anymore. And that's why we can say that we live in newness of life, because Jesus made us new. He made us new because of his sacrifice on our behalf. So our day of atonement, our day of propitiation, was the day that we asked Jesus to come into our life. He made us new that day. That very day, that very moment, he changed our life. He justified us, number one, before God because of his sacrifice on our behalf. He set us apart, the word is sanctification. He set us apart for God the moment that we came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. And he glorified us, Ephesians chapter 1. He glorified us that day as well, gave us the promise of eternal life and a life with him forever. So we think about the festivals and what they represented. The festivals were important. We don't have to observe the festivals today. Our festival of hope is coming up on the 4th of next month, or the 5th of next month. It's called Easter Sunday. Jesus rose from the grave, and when he rose from the dead, the promise of his complete sacrifice was complete. We need to recognize that. You know, going to Easter Sunday service is not because you got a new dress or a new suit or a new pair of shoes. We go to Easter Sunday services to recognize that Jesus paid it all, that he gave us a promise, and he proved that promise is true because he rose from the dead on our behalf. We don't celebrate very many things as Christians. Be better maybe if we had a few things more to recognize. But he gave us life, gave us new life, and he wants us to live in that new life. He wants us to recognize his grace towards us. So we're just so thankful. The festivals are here. We'll move on in John chapter 7 next week. Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the ability to recognize the truth of your word, that there is a storyline here that is complete, that every book in the Old Testament shows us the deity and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless, Father, this rest of this day ahead of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we close, the first five verses in John 7 leave us with a sobering question. Do we truly believe in Christ? Or are we trying to shape him into what we want him to be? Even his own brothers were near to him, heard his words, saw his works, and yet did not believe. That should cause us to examine our own hearts. Jesus was not operating on human timelines or expectations. He was walking in perfect obedience to the Father's will. And the same is true today. He is not a Savior who bends to our demands. He is the Lord who calls us to trust him, submit to him, and follow him on his terms. So let this passage push you to look honestly at your faith. Are you trusting in the true Christ revealed in Scripture, or a version shaped by your own thinking? Ask God to give you eyes to see and a heart that believes. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations as we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.